Two very well-known passages, shepherds and sheep. And when Ian and I were driving down to Devon on Easter Sunday to see our respective parents, as we drove down, we spotted some newborn lambs gamboling and cavorting around the fields as their mothers grazed and rested. And that brief glimpse as we drove past just simply brought us joy. It was yet another sign of spring, another reminder of the seasons changing and the new life coming. All of us, for the last few weeks and months, have been enjoying the different flowers and the blossoms appearing on the trees and in our gardens. Different colours, different shapes, different varieties. So much beauty. We've perhaps not enjoyed quite so much the endless April showers that haven't gone on just for 3 weeks, but feels like more 3 months. But as we went down and we saw the rape coming out and the lambs in the field, we were reminded afresh of God's hand of creation. On Easter Monday, before we set off on our return journey, we were wandering alongside a babbling brook as it made its way down to the sea. And Ian and I and my dad, who was with us, we just paused and looked at the gardens that were opposite, enjoying again the beauty of that creation, enjoying being by the seaside before we set off on our return journey. Those moments of pausing and stepping out, enjoying God's creation before returning to a busy life amongst a busy set of traffic on a motorway in order to return to Romford. When I was looking at the verses for tonight, I was reminded of those moments over Easter of just stopping and breathing and recognising God's hand at work. And in Psalm 23 and in this passage from John 10, we see promises of care and of love, of concern and shelter, of refreshment and protectiveness, of guidance, but also the need to listen. In both the passages, from Psalm 23 and John 10, we are reminded of the need to listen in order to hear from God. In verse 16 of John's passage, it says, "I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." We're being told there that even those who are not God's sheep will one day recognize his voice. That is his heart, that they too will recognize his voice, as will those for whom we are already listening to the voice. I don't know which of the verses that you heard tonight from either of the two readings were the ones that really kind of spoke to you where you are tonight. Tonight, are you needing to know God's love and care? Or maybe we're benefiting from his concern and his shelter simply because of what we're facing or what we're going through at this time. Others of us may more be in need of refreshment and protection. We've hit that proverbial brick wall of exhaustion, or that uncertainty as to what the future will look like, and we just need to just take a moment out, a bit like as we were walking along that babbling brook on Easter Monday, just having a moment to pause and to breathe, to listen. Or maybe we're seeking God's guidance, but we're finding it hard to listen or to hear his voice. But the promise that we have within both of those passages is that he is there for us as our shepherd. A true shepherd, a shepherd who really cares, not like the hired hand who, in a faint moment of danger or uncertainty or even too much responsibility, will just think, but these aren't my sheep. I don't need to stay. I don't need to face this. I'm just going to go. No, that's not the shepherd that we see here in these passages. Our shepherd will remain faithful. Our shepherd is the one who will lay down his life for his sheep. Why? Because of his love for us. A love that comes because he himself did as his Father asked and left the glory and wonder of heaven to come down to this earth to give his life for us. And the promise as a result of that for each one of us, his sheep, is that we will indeed be able to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I know we say those words just in a split second, but they mean something that is beyond our comprehension. A promise not just for the here and now, but a promise of eternity. However old we are as we look back over our lives, that is nothing to what that future will be like as we live and dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We don't have in these passages a sense that life's going to be easy, that all will be well. It doesn't even say that life will be wonderful. In fact, in verse 5 of Psalm 23, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. If you were involved in listening or being involved in a small group, when we looked at Psalm 23 and having who was at the seat at our table, we get told that life isn't going to be easy. We are surrounded by enemies. But we're also told that we're not going to be there on our own. But Jesus, as our shepherd, will be there with us. These verses from both of these passages, both picked up from the liturgical calendar for this week, viewed by Christians in denominations around our world, are in being reminded for us all that we are not on our own. We are loved in a way that is beyond our understanding. And we do not need to fear, because our rock, our shepherd, our guide, the one who brings us that rest and refreshment, the leading and the guiding, will be there every step of the way. In the same way that just for a 24-hour period, probably a bit more than that maybe, Ian and I just stepped away and enjoyed those moments on the motorway or down in Devon, we too, in the next short while, will be able just to enjoy moments of creation and the words once again of Psalm 23 that's been put into a meditation for us just to sit and reflect and be reminded of the richness of the language picked up in that first hymn that we sung. So that just for 3 or 4 minutes, we can pause and allow those words to speak into our lives and to hear once again that the Lord is indeed our shepherd. Well, if you've thought about the first two readings and we've listened to the second two, you can really see that sense being followed through. The love that God has for us. The love of a shepherd for his sheep. But we've also been reminded through communion of the Saviour's love for us, because he gave up his life. But this passage from 1 John is pushing us further than the passages that we heard earlier. Because we're being told, excuse me, just one moment. told that we need to share that love, not just with words and deeds, as it says in verse 18, but with actions and with truth. And that's what the passage from Acts is about. I'm going to just have a longer drink and see if this will help. I didn't feel that we had time to have the whole passage from Acts 4 that was, and what had happened in Acts 3 read to us. But the events of what had happened before was that Peter and John had gone, as they regularly did, to the temple. But on this particular day that is captured here in Acts chapter 3, something different had taken place, because it was an encounter between Peter and John and a lame beggar. And I wonder what it is about that particular day that was so different to all the other days that they'd all gone to the temple. Because we read and we know that Peter and John would go to the temple and the lame man went to the temple. But something about this particular day meant that all three of them met, and the lives of all three of them were changed as a result. Had the beggar arrived at a different time? Had Peter and John? We don't know. But something had happened. And the consequences for each one of them, particularly for the lame man, was so transforming. A man who'd been lame was able to walk and leap and praise God. And for Peter and John, with the courage of proclaiming their faith in their God and in their Saviour, as we've heard, were being arrested and imprisoned, and were being challenged to explain their actions. 1 John passage tells us that we need to lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters. God, I wonder how well are we doing? Because it goes on to tell us that if we have material possessions and we're not sharing them with people who are in need, then are we demonstrating the love that we're being told to do in this passage in 1 John? And if we're failing to do that, then we're failing to put into action the truth that we have heard from Jesus, the truth that we find in the Gospels. When Peter and John were asked, by whose power did you heal that lame man? They were emboldened. They were not apologetic. It is by the power of Jesus that we did this. I'm not sure how many of us would be willing to have followed in that example. And it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to find the balance between serving others and showing kindness and showing compassion and being God's hands and feet, when also we're trying to manage our existing demands and our priorities and our commitments and our simple everyday living. How do we do these two things that we're being asked to do here when life basically feels all so consuming? How do we live as a Christian when we're also human? When we ourselves need to know that shepherd's restoration and the rest that comes from him, as well as being the person who needs to be showing and demonstrating that love to others? I'm going to tell you about three people, very briefly. The first is a disillusioned and uncertain man who was walking in the countryside. And as he walked and as he worked and as he travelled, he reflected upon his life until his attention was caught by something extraordinary that caused him to stop and take notice. That's example number one. The second one is a young boy. A young boy laying in the darkness at night. He knew that his life was dedicated to God, but he wasn't really sure what that meant. And then he heard a voice speaking to him. He didn't really know whose it was, and so He kept getting it wrong. And then the third one. This one, a leader. This leader was exhausted, fearful, suffering with his mental health. How could he keep on going? Have you identified those three people? The man, disillusioned and uncertain, reflecting upon his life, was Moses. Caught up in what had happened and wondering what the future would hold, until suddenly God spoke to him through a burning bush and turned his life upside down. Jolted him out of his everyday existence and told him he was going to be the man who would set his people free. Moses didn't feel equipped to do it. But with God on his side, he decided he'd try. The second, the young boy, knowing he'd given his life to God but didn't really understand what that meant, was Samuel. Three times God had to speak to him before he realized it was God. And when he did, Samuel listened and obeyed. And the third, the leader, struggling and fearful, was poor old Elijah, who'd run away and was in need of God's restoration and someone to walk alongside him in his ministry going forward. And why have I chosen all three of those people? Because they needed to recognize God's voice and leading and then stand confidently in that knowledge. And as we come towards an end, I'm going to ask how confident you are in what God is asking of you. Are you at peace with the decisions that we make day by day? Are we certain that the lifestyle choices that dictate our everyday life are the ones that are from God? Or are we out of step with God? Are we out of balance in our everyday lives? If I think about my own life, as a Christian trying to put truth and action into effect and yet being answerable to others, how do I find that balance? And it comes from knowing and needing to know that I am in step with God. And that I'm not out of step with him, even when others feel that I am. And yes, there are times when I need to lie down in those green pastures and have my soul refreshed. There are moments when I rely on God's staff and rod to comfort and protect me. And to know that when I'm seated at that table with my enemies all around, he is there doing exactly what I need him to do. But I also need to be listening to the Spirit's voice, challenging me and convicting me and telling me when I fail to be the person that he calls me to be. And I have to do all of that juggling day by day, as do each one of you, to keep that balance between serving others and showing kindness and compassion and being God's hands and feet alongside daily life that can feel sometimes all too consuming. And I don't always get it right. And I don't always find it easy. But I try not to let it stop me from trying. And so my question is for you, how are you doing? How are you doing juggling all of these things? Are you in step with God? Are you able to put that challenge from 1 John into action? Or do we need a time where we once again ask God to speak to us and to show us the way ahead? We may have been coming to a church, whether it's this church or other churches, for years, but do we know God for ourselves? Is he alive in us right now? Or is he just conveniently parked somewhere, but we don't really allow him to have too much of an impact? Do we recognize God's voice speaking to us? Only you can answer that for yourselves. But we will be held account for our actions. We do need to allow ourselves to be led by him. But we can take confidence from Moses and from Samuel and from Elijah that even when they didn't always get it right, God still persisted and they came back afresh to him. And perhaps for us, that's what we need to do, to come back afresh and to say, show me the way. I've talked about God's love walking with us. But it's only going to help us when we recognize his love present in our lives, his voice speaking to our ears and to our hearts, and following in the steps and the pathway that he has for us. But if we can do that day by day, we can indeed face not only today, but also tomorrow, in the confidence of knowing that he holds our future in his hands.